From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Everybody, and welcome to another Thursday night Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. This is Karen, and with me tonight is not Rick Hale, although he is in the chat room. Rick had a tooth pulled yesterday, and he's a big baby, so he's not going to be on the show. So instead, somebody who's, because I want you to know that I also had dental work done yesterday, a root canal and a cap, and I am here talking on the radio without pain meds. Yes.
Because you don't want to be outdone by Rick. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Come on.
That's right. Because his name is first, but mine should be. So with me tonight is Jenny Brown, who is one of my fellow team members at Northwest Paranormal Investigation Agency and a longtime listener of the show and a longtime member of Paranormal Underground. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
All right. So we have a good show tonight. We are going to be talking to Living Dead Paranormal, and that should be a lot of fun. It's actually three brothers and a friend, and from what I understand, the three brothers grew up in a haunted house, and that's what led them to do this. So I'm looking forward to talking to them. We'll be talking with, we think, Cheryl's not quite sure who all is going to be joining us, but Josh, Sean, Rocky, and Greg hopefully will all be joining us in just a few minutes. So, Jenny.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I sent you a link today because I thought it was interesting that if somebody wants to travel into space, the Space Needle in Seattle is making the opportunity available in the form of a sweepstakes and then apparently some kind of a reality challenge competition.
Yeah, I saw that. I was reading about that actually today when you sent the link. I read a little more on it, and you have to sign up, and then they pick 1,000 people out of who signed up, and there's some sort of challenge. It has to do with a video you have to present and stuff like that.
They said like physical and mental challenges.
Gosh, could you imagine?
I'd be fine because I am mentally challenged.
Yeah, there's that.
But I think it's really, really cool because how many people have the opportunity to go into space, first of all?
Yeah.
And they list the value of this prize as $111,000. That's how much space flight costs, is like $111,000.
Well, remind me not to book the cruise then, man.
Yeah, and they said it was like just a little suborbital flight or something. But another one of the prizes is, and this one you don't have to go through the physical challenge. This is just like one of the grand sweepstakes prizes. It is weightlessness. One of the they have modified a Boeing. I think it's a 767, but I could be wrong, and I'm sure if I am, somebody will correct me. But anyway, they've modified this plane, and it flies in a parabola. And during parts of the parabola, you're weightless. And so that's one of the prizes, too, is a weightless flight on this Boeing plane.
Wow. Well, you can get that just by going to Six Flags and doing the free fall, though.
I know, but here's what I'm thinking. Okay, now bear with me. So if I could win this weightless flight from the Space Needle, right?
I totally know where you're going.
If I could stand on the scale at just exactly the right moment, I might weigh what I did when I was 20 years old.
Oh, I totally knew where you were going with that.
That'd be so awesome. So I think that the link is spaceneedle.com. Let me check really quickly and see.
I think you're right. And yeah. Otherwise, you can just Google it or Bing it or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's spaceneedle.com, and you can win a trip into space. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary of the Space Needle here in Seattle. But the good news is you do not have to be from the area like Jenny and I are.
Yeah, you lucky bumps.
I know. So I think it sounds really cool. And they have other great prizes, too. You can win like a $3,000 telescope.
Yeah, it seems like there's two sweepstakes going, actually. They have one that's, there's a grand prize of, like you said, the all the other little this, that, and the other thing, telescopes. And then you can also, so you could potentially win them both. You could potentially, from what I read,
yeah,
win not only the trip to space, but
they,
all the
they
other
draw,
stuff.
From the sweepstakes entries, they draw Oh, Bert says it's a 747 and a 737. I believe you, Bert. But anyway, from the sweepstakes entries, they're going to draw 1,000 people, and then they're going to put them through this mental and physical challenge contest. So if it's for mentally and physically challenged, I'm in. If it is a mental and physical challenge, you're going to have to get somebody else. So. But anyway, I think it would be really cool. So if anybody would like to have the off chance and they're in good mental and physical shape and they'd like to try to win a trip into space worth $111,000, then go to spaceneedle.com and sign up. I think it'd be really cool. And, you know, but it's interesting because that what that tells me is, look how close we are to space tourism.
I know it.
I know. So do you think it'll ever be affordable?
Well, you know, you sit there and you watch all those sci-fi stuff or even, you know, some of the cartoon WALL-E, and that's what they do. They all went to space and they just got on their little craft and did their tours and whatnot. I think eventually we will. I doubt we'll see it in our lifetime. It's just way too expensive, and I just think that, you know, that NASA's got way too much control over it right now for us to just start going up there.
Sure. You know, the other really cool thing in the news I think is cool, and I'll tell you one in a minute, is the D.B. Cooper stuff. Have you been watching what's going on with D.B. Cooper?
Briefly, and I saw a little snippet in our Stagnant Valley Herald that said...
Stagnant Valley Herald.
Well, that's what we call it up here.
Yeah.
And it's... They aged him, and they think that, you know, they did an aged picture, and they think he just died maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, this lady has come forward, and she says she thinks it's her uncle.
Yeah.
And she remembers when she was, she's younger than I am, so she has to have been maybe 4 or 5 when this went down. And she remembers her uncle and his brother coming home, two of her uncles, coming home at Thanksgiving, all bleeding and bloody, and they said they'd been in a car accident, but the car was fine. And then she heard them say, well, our financial problems are over because we've hijacked a plane. Yeah. So she's turned them this tip into the FBI. But let me tell you why this is really cool. So both Jim and I have a connection to the D.B. Cooper case.
Wow.
I know. So my dad played basketball, and I think he was roommates, too, with a guy named Mike Cooper when he was in college. And Mike Cooper lived in Montana, and he was on that flight with D.B. Cooper.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And for years, the FBI checked him because his name was Cooper, and they thought it was him. And when they actually originally announced the name of the person who had hijacked the flight, they said it was Mike Cooper. So the FBI watched his bank accounts for years and stuff. So that's one connection. And then the other connection is on Jim's side of the family. Jim's best friend lived next door to him. His best friend's dad is the guy that packed the money and handed it over.
Oh, my.
Isn't that weird?
That's trippy.
We have a double D.B. Cooper connection in our family.
I think the only claim to fame in that, and it's not even one I like to claim, is my mom used to work in retail well before I was born, and she actually sold white cotton gloves to Ted Bundy.
So
that's a creepy story.
Wait, but you mean like murder gloves?
Yeah.
That is
she didn't
we
realize,
have all sorts of awesome criminals here in the Pacific Northwest. So.
No kidding. Green River Killer. We could go on and on. But no, she didn't know it at the time. Obviously, she thought it was kind of strange. He came in and he just wanted white cotton gloves. And she said, okay, well, they're over here. She, like I said, didn't think anything of it. And then she saw on the news months later or something, a picture of him or something. She goes, oh no, that's the guy I sold. So she, yeah. So it freaked her out just a little bit.
Holy cow, that's even creepier than our, I mean, our D.B. Cooper stories are kind of actually sort of fun, because the D.B. Cooper legend is one, I think, in, especially in the Pacific Northwest, and I don't know if elsewhere, but here it kind of has a life of its own.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, a lot of people kind of see it as almost a fun story because it's this mystery that's never been solved. So here's my question to you. If they've solved it and this is the guy, is that satisfying or would you rather it remain a mystery?
You know, for me, I kind of like the mystique behind it. I think I would rather not know. Kind of like, you know, people laugh at me because I've never seen the movie JFK, and I know that Gavin/Dirk is just rolling his eyes right now at me, but I don't really want to know and don't want to know the conspiracy behind it. I think just, you know, I like the not knowing in some respects. I think so that's kind of cool on those stories.
You don't want to know that man never really walked on the moon then.
Well, now let's, okay, now that one, you know, I would have a line and I'm not going to say it because Rick will get mad at me, but I think that we did totally walk on the moon.
I do too. I know a guy that when you mention that conspiracy theory to him, he just gets so mad. It's so funny. He's not listening tonight though. So hey, you know what? We need to take a break. It's 6:15. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the Living Dead Paranormal crew. So stay with us. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Enjoying the fun.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Unless it's Karen Fraser giving those opinions, and then they are exactly the opinions of the station. And the magazine. Okay, that's not true. All right, so we're back. Welcome back, Jenny Brown.
Hey there, Karen.
Sitting in for Rick Hale. Thank you. Shout out to Rick with his
toothless wonder.
His little tooth injury. Even though I had a root canal and a crown, I'm here. He has a tooth pulled. He's not. I'm just saying. All right. And we both had it done yesterday, too. So, I don't know. You decide. You decide whose name should be first in the credits. And it's been Rick Hale all this time. I'm just saying. That's right. So, we are back with our guests. Tonight we have the Living Dead Paranormal Crew. Living Dead Paranormal Crew is a paranormal investigation team. They're from Greenville, Ohio, and they're made up of three brothers and a friend. The brothers are Josh, Sean, and Rocky. And then their friend is Greg. And Josh founded the group in 2008. They travel all over the country to reportedly haunted locations. They've been to Waverly Hills, Prospect Place Mansion, Old South, Pittsburgh Hospital, and the Crump Theater. They also hold a live paranormal tour, which travels to haunted locations across the country. That's something I'm interested in, finding out how that works. This year, they're kicking off their tour at the Mineral Springs Hotel in Alton, Illinois, and this will be the second time they've investigated that location. So right now, I believe we have Josh on the line with us, and they're just going to kind of be passing the phone around. So Josh and the Living Dead Paranormal Crew, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So the very first thing I have to know, because I watched one of your videos, I watched several of your videos, which, by the way, are, if you go to YouTube and you just type in Living Dead Paranormal, your channel will be one of the first things they find. So Cheryl also posted some in the blog at paranormalunderground.net. She can paste that link in the chat room for you, too. So in one of the videos I watched, Josh, you were investigating, and there were people that looked like an audience sitting there with their hands over their faces. Was that part of the live tour?
Yeah, that's basically set up like a theater setting. Mm-hmm. So we've got a big screen, and they're actually watching us investigate in a separate room. And then after the investigation, then we split up into groups, and they investigate with us.
Oh, well, so that's a great way to do it. So do you get good attendance at those then?
Yeah, actually, the Mineral Springs sold out pretty quick. We tried to limit some of the smaller locations to about 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if we get too many people in there, then it just gets too crowded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started doing the live tour, and how do you go about marketing that and marketing yourselves so that people will come to that?
Actually, when we got started, we were actually looking at an investigation here in Ohio, and they were talking about a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So when the whole thing started, it was as a fundraiser to help them raise money.
Okay.
And it's kind of became what it is today.
Oh, it's a great idea. I actually kind of like the theater so that they watch you and then they investigate with you. Now, do you give these people instructions or do you just sort of let them do what they will when you investigate?
Actually, we talk a little bit about it before we start our investigation as far as how the night will go. And then we come back into the room later and we have like a Q&A session.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll split up, like, you know, Sean will take 15 and I'll take 15 and so forth. And we stay with them the whole night. So, and they just basically investigate the whole place until they're ready to leave.
Okay.
So what kind of people do you get? You get a lot of people that have done their own investigating, or do you get first timers or kind of a mix of both?
Yeah, a lot of them's first timers. I was surprised at first about how many groups would actually show up there. So that kind of shocked me as far as other paranormal groups showing up to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of first timers, a lot of high school kids.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of our time just making sure they stay safe and
sure. Nobody gets hurt. Sure. Do you get a lot of thrill seekers then, too? People who just are really curious about what's going on?
Yeah, I would say a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm. So, on those lines there, while we're kind of on this newbie thread here, there's been a huge rise in the popularity, I would say, in the last, what, 5-6 years of paranormal investigating mm-hmm. and shows and whatnot. So, in your guys' experience, you've been seeing, like you said, a lot of more first-timers and some thrill-seekers and things. Do you think this uprising of paranormal investigating is a fad, or do you think this is here to stay? What do you kind of see for the future of paranormal investigating?
I think it's here to stay, just because each year it just seems like it gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, we've probably got, I don't know, 30, 40 groups here in Ohio alone, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm new to this, so I'm pretty newbie still. I belong to a group that I've only been on a few investigations, and I'm still super skeptic, so.
We got you a little bit hooked, though.
Yeah, you have me hooked, and I'm open-minded to it, and it's fun, and I love to get together with everybody and do the ghosty things, but I'm still waiting for that big smack in the face, like I say every time, that says, hey, I'm a ghost, so.
Yeah.
Right place.
Yeah, that's right place, right time. When something flies at you, I've discovered that when something is thrown at you, that's usually a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
I've decided that it was my definitive, is when something flew at us that, you know, there was nobody there to throw. So, you guys, you three brothers, I heard a rumor that you guys actually grew up in a haunted house. Is that true?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so tell me about that.
I was just, you know, we were all kids and stuff when we moved out of there, so it was a lot of different lights and stuff with rooms that didn't have lights in it. Just strange noises and things like that. Nothing too terrible.
So is that kind of what led you to your curiosity and to do what you do then?
I would say a little bit of that and some of the horror movies that came out back then, like Amityville Horror and stuff like that, the original.
Yeah.
I would say that probably got a lot of people started.
Yeah, the Amityville Horror, definitely. I remember I was probably maybe 12 when I read the book. And I remember being at home alone, reading the book, turning out my light, trying to go to sleep because my parents were out. Oh, man. You know, the front cover of the book said, this book will scare the hell out of you. Holy mm-hmm. crap, it did.
So. I fortunately have not read the book because there is a reason why my screen name is Scaredy Cat. So, yeah. None of that. I'll watch the movie, but if you get me alone in a dark room reading a book like that, I think I might have to sleep with the lights on for about a month.
But I think you have to watch the original, not the remake.
Oh, yes.
Was there a remake?
Yeah, I think there was one that came out in 2001 or 2002.
Yeah.
No idea.
Had some of the famous little in-betweener type actors in it, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody was in it.
Oh, see, I do more the books than the movies. I really like scary books. Scary movies don't scare me. I can sit and watch all of these movies that have people jumping, and I don't know if it's because I, you know, do things with real ghosts or what, but scary movies.
Jaded?
You think that's what it is? I'm jaded.
Well, in a way, because like you say, you do investigations and you've been out there and had these experiences. And so, you know, it just looks fake to you. But I'm the same way on some of these scary movies. They don't scare me. In fact, they kind of make me laugh because they're so hokey.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. So you guys have been investigating for about 3 years together. Now, did you investigate before you formed your own group?
Yeah, we did. I had, I'm trying to think if I had bought the camcorder first or, but Greg, which was a friend of ours, he had a wood shop and he had always talked about it being haunted and stuff like that. So me and him went over there one night and just set up cameras and, you know, did a mini investigation. And then, you know, I asked him, I said, we should start a group. And so that's kind of how we got started.
Okay.
All right. So what was your defining moment? What was the moment that for you said, all right, I am 100% believer and this is it? Because like I said, I'm a skeptic, so I'm always looking to see what people say was their moment.
I would say, because we did the wood shop and we did a couple residential houses with, you know, no activity. So we had scheduled an investigation at Hardin County, and I think it was me and Rocky were both up on the second floor, and we're standing there in the pitch dark, and then Sean's down at the command post, and we heard a woman's voice clear as day, and there were no other women in the museum. So,
you know, we're both standing there in the dark, and it's the
first time we'd ever heard anything like that. And
yeah.
So we've been hooked ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a question for you about that, because it was in a museum was your definitive for you. Mm-hmm. And one of the places that one of my definitive ones was in a museum as well. So why do you, I have my own theories, but I'd be curious to hear what your theory is as to why so many museums seem to be haunted.
Well, we've done, I don't know, a handful of museums here in Ohio and down in Kentucky. And I think it's got a mixture of the people that used to live there for the ones that were houses and converted into museums. And then also with the artifacts brought into the museums. So.
Yeah. I tend to think that there's maybe something attached to the artifacts.
Yeah. I think it's just, you got to try to figure out what it is and key on that certain artifact. And so I don't know, we like doing museums.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Jenny?
Well, I was going to say, so when you guys go into an investigation like this, is your goal when you go in to prove that it's haunted, or are you there to debunk it, or just in there just to see what the heck you see?
Actually, nowadays, you know, we never tell a client whether their place is haunted or anything like that. We just present them with the evidence and they can make their own conclusions.
Good plan.
We're actually going in just to film and document whatever we can. Mm-hmm. So if we get evidence or not, then I guess that would be up to the spirits.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what if you have a client, because I know you do some private homes as well. What if you have a client who's really freaked out by this when you present them with the evidence? Because I don't think that you can definitively say something is haunted or not in spite of the evidence that you have, because we don't really know. So what do you do with a client that's really freaked out then?
That's a good question. You know, we've came across evidence. We had a house we did over in Lewisburg, and we came across some pretty good EVPs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to just present everything to them, but you got to kind of worry about is if it's going to scare them or their kids or anything like that. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I just always, one of the things that I wonder is that there's a popular television show, that has the sort of the, when they show up at the client's place, they say, hi, we're here to help. And I've never been really clear about what that help is that's provided in residential things. Is it just letting them know what's there? Is it the finding the things that it could be that aren't haunted? Or is there something else that happens as well? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think we've been pretty lucky that we haven't had anybody that actually needed our help yet. Because to be honest, I don't think we have the first idea of how to get rid of a ghost or a haunted or anything like that. So
I don't think anybody does.
No.
Yeah.
If we did, there wouldn't be any ghosts, right?
You know what? That's a great, honest answer, though. I appreciate that answer more than you know.
Yeah.
So you've been to all kinds of places. Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, is just the most off-the-hook place as far as weird stuff happening that you've been to?
I would say for me it would have to be the Hardin County. We've done that one twice.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we've gotten all kinds of activity there as far as voices and doors shutting and full-body apparitions and things like that. And the one time we left, and the guy that stayed there with us, you know, he stayed behind and locked everything up. And then she emailed me the next morning and said that on the second floor, all the furniture was turned upside down.
What?
And since he was the one that shut all the lights off and locked the place up, then, you know, they pretty much knew that we didn't do it.
Wow. You never think that ghosts would be that strong, but apparently they could be, huh? So if so, when something like that happens, do you categorize them then? Because when physical objects move, I believe it's a psychokinetic thing, first of all. But when physical objects move, do you categorize that as, and I know you don't tell anybody that their place is haunting, but just in your own head, do you categorize that or label that in some way, poltergeist activity, ghost? Do you have like a classification system that you guys use?
We've never encountered as far as, you know, furniture and stuff moving. So, but yeah, if we were to catch something like that, I would definitely categorize it as like poltergeist activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you guys, there's a lot of theories out there. And I know that some people, you know, oh, well, this is residual and this is active and this is poltergeist, which is different. And so do you tend to think it's all kind of coming from the same type of thing, or do you think that there are different things that are triggering these the different activities that you see?
I think it's probably different things triggering the activity. I guess just depending where we are and what type of activity is reported. We try not to find out too much information going into it, because then I think you key on, you know, certain things. So,
right. So how would you classify your investigative style then?
I would say we go into every investigation and we start off kind of mild, just your normal questions and trying to get activity to take place. And if nothing's going on, then we'll ramp up our questioning and ultimately start provoking if we need to be. So,
So do you guys, would you say you're more basic in just EVP video, maybe picture, or do you guys go gadget geek on the whole situation?
Yeah, we don't use too many gadgets. The gadgets that we do use is basically like an EMF detector and K2 meter and stuff like that.
Uh-oh.
But those things are always going off, and so we try not to rely on too much of the technology.
Right. So, what do you guys think about working with sensitives then? Do you use any with your team, or any of you sensitive?
I don't think any of us are. We did work with a medium one time, and it didn't work out very well, so...
Well, different teams, different teams do different things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with those same line then, do you guys compare notes with other groups in the area and say, well, when we went to this place, we found these things and kind of have like a little round table of different evidence and try and show each other what you found? Do you have anything like that?
I think when we first got started, I would do that. I would email different groups that I'd seen that investigated location and just to see what they caught and try to key on in some of the active areas. But pretty much now we just talk with the owners and do all of our own research and stuff.
Okay. So you guys have been some really cool places, so I wanted to ask you about a few of them. So first of all, let's start with where you're kicking off your tour this year, the Mineral Springs Hotel. Tell us about the Mineral Springs Hotel.
Yeah, it's a great location. It's huge, which is what we like. I think it's, what, four stories, and it's got dark tunnels that lead back to big open rooms and things like that, and it's a pretty active area. So it's always producing good EVPs and a lot of neat sounds.
That's cool. Okay. So, is pretty much EVPs what you've captured there, or have you captured any other evidence there?
To be honest, last time we investigated it, partly during the day, and we were getting everything set up for the event. And then we went and did the walkthrough with the tunnel, because they got a tunnel system there in Alton. And we did some work down there. So when we investigate during the live event, you know, we're investigating for maybe half an hour before we have to head back up for the Q&A session.
Right. So you investigating during the day. I think that's okay, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think do you go dark for a reason or do you go dark for ambience?
We actually, our whole first half of our investigation, probably the first 3 or 4 hours, we'll have lights on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the camcorders. Now, mm-hmm. all the other lights in the building will be off, so our camcorder lights actually light up the room pretty good. And then after that, we'll switch over to complete night vision, and we'll go complete darkness.
Okay.
So that way we're catching, people can actually see the location and see what it looks like before we go complete darkness.
Okay. So one of the places that you went that I'm really interested in, because I watched a little bit of the video today, I didn't have a time to watch the whole thing, but was the Merry-Go-Round Museum, which I thought was perfect with the music that Cheryl played at the top of the show. So tell me about the Merry-Go-Round Museum, because frankly, I think all of walking through all of those horses would creep me out mm-hmm. a bit.
Yeah, kind of like the Wax Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty interesting place because we didn't realize actually how big it was until we got up there. And again, I think this was 4 stories, so, you know, up and down stairs all night long. But it turned out to be pretty active. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched the video with what sounded like to us what we thought was a doorstop.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing we could find in the middle of the room that would have made that noise.
Right.
Was kind of tossed our way.
Yeah, and then the other place Jenny just mentioned that would creep me out is I don't know that I would want to investigate a wax museum because I think I'd be pretty ready for all of those critters to come, those waxy people to come alive at any minute.
Yeah, that was actually pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Especially when we had lights out, night vision, and you can barely see the hand in front of your face and you walk up and there's a wax figure sitting there staring at you.
Well, and they're so realistic, too. I mean, that's just, oh, my goodness, that would creep me out.
Yeah, we investigated this place down in St. Helens, Oregon, where they filmed the Twilight movie, by the way. Woo! Anyway, but that's not, the place isn't where they filmed it, but they had this Halloween event, and then they put this wax figure, like a Jack the Ripper-looking guy, on the second floor, and we're investigating this place, and every time I'd come up the stairs and see that one guy standing there, I'd be like, mm-hmm. So, I would think a wax museum would really be a little creepy. So,
yeah, you definitely had to get used to it.
Yeah, that was down in Florida, too, so I didn't know they could have wax museums in Florida. They must have air conditioning, huh?
Yeah, they definitely had air conditioning. So it was neat when we were down there. We went and visited the fort, and then we went to the lighthouse, too. So.
Mm. Oh, so
wow, the lighthouse, yeah.
Yeah, so I have heard two things about the lighthouse. One is hype, and the other is haunted. Which is it?
Actually, I did not go in the lighthouse. These guys did because I'm afraid of heights.
Oh.
So they actually went all the way up to the top without me.
Okay, so what do they think? Hyper haunted. St. Augustine Lighthouse.
I'll never go back up.
As far as
really?
Was it just because it was rickety steps, or were you just really spooked by it?
Yeah, I think it's probably more hype.
Mm. Okay, very good. Okay, so let's talk about the next one, Waverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Hyper haunted.
I would say it's a combination of two.
Okay.
So it's definitely a neat place to stand back there and just look up and see the size of the building and the location. I don't know if you've been there or not.
Not no. I.
Cheryl has. Cheryl, you should come on and talk to them about Waverly because you're the only one with the Waverly experience.
But you forget that I had to sit half of it out because I got sick. So.
That's true, but you've been there.
It was impressive. I agree with that statement. And it was really impressive. And I did not have any particular experience in the 4 hours I was able to investigate there. But I know other people did. So
yeah. So did you guys have some experiences then that led you to think, okay, well, there's something to this?
Yeah, going into a place like that, you never know because, you know, you watch all these TV shows and movies and stuff that's been filmed there. So you're going in seeing all this stuff, so you kind of have to set all that apart and just walk around and do your normal investigation and kind of forget where you're at.
Oh, that'd be really hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so hot.
I think I'd be so excited to be there. Yeah, were you there in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so was Cheryl.
Oh, never again.
We sawed it off down on the body chute, and so it was pretty hot.
So what do you think of all the places that you've been, and maybe even places that you haven't been, but there's so many places that are really touted as haunted, a lot of them because of the TV shows, a lot of them because of buzz on the internet and stuff. What do you think is the most overhyped haunted place?
If I have to go overhyped, I would definitely say Waverly Hills.
Really?
I mean, it's definitely a neat place to investigate, and I think just because of the history and all that stuff, which is why we do a lot of museums and stuff, is just because anything that's got a lot of history, we enjoy investigating.
Mm-hmm.
So from a history aspect, it was really neat, but I would say it's definitely overhyped.
Well, some of the history is overhyped, too. We had a guy that was a member of our site for quite a while, and Cheryl might even remember what his name was, and he was a Waverly Hills expert. And do you remember, Cheryl, what I'm talking about? And he said that the estimate of the people that died there was just, like, crazy high.
Yeah, I do. I do remember. He was collecting death records and putting them up publicly on a website. I have tried to contact him a couple times about it, but haven't heard back, so I don't know if that's still something that he does actively or what. So it was interesting, okay, though.
Yeah, I think I read from what was something like, one was 7,000, then I think they say up to 68,000 there. So
that'd be a lot of people dying in a very short period of time. Yeah. 7,000 sounds more logically correct to me. You know, so the truth probably lies somewhere in between. But I agree with you. I really like historic places. There's a place here in Oregon that it was the old Multnomah County Poor Farm, and it's now like a European style lodging hotel and has some bars and stuff on it. And it's, you know, the same type of thing. The history of it is so cool, but you wonder if maybe the history is what causes. Do you think that the knowledge of history sometimes causes people to, I don't want to say overreact, but maybe read things into things that aren't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a lot. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's not haunted. I don't know that Waverly Hills is not haunted. I just wonder if it's as crazy wild active as everybody seems to think it is.
I would definitely say it's got some paranormal activity there because we, you know, seen some strange things and heard some strange stuff. But, you know, when you get there, their walkthrough and stuff, they're talking about people being dragged in the rooms and being kicked and stuff like that. So
really? Okay. So Have you ever had that kind of a physical experience on an investigation where something pokes you or scratches you or drags you or whatever? I mean, or even not drags you. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get dragged by their hair. That'd be really awesome.
Yeah, we'd like to catch that on film.
Yeah, I bet you would.
But no, we've just normal touching. And this last time at the Crump Theater, I felt like it wasn't really a smack, but pressure on the side of my face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think in the video I said something about smacking, but it was more of a pressure.
But that's a pretty disconcerting thing to have happen when you have something that's a very definitive touch.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of stops you for a minute. I mean, you know, because I've had things where I think, okay, did something just touch me? But I've had a few where it was like, okay, who's messing with me? So
I have a question for you guys about when you first go into a place.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
go ahead.
You just hushed your mouth, Miss Karen. when you go to a place that you haven't been, but you know, like you're saying, some of these places you think are hyped and hyped up a lot. So a place like Waverly, you personally haven't been there, but you've heard so many stories and you go there. Do you guys have a feel for the power of suggestion, maybe bring on a lot of your personal experiences? So, like, if someone told me that Waverly is haunted, and if you go to this one spot, you'll definitely hear this thing. And then I've got this notion in my head that when I go to this spot, I'm going to hear this thing. Mm-hmm. And so do you think maybe that's kind of a preconceived notion that's already embedded in your head, and so your head's hearing things that you want it to?
Yeah, I think so. I think, one, the couple things that we look for is, one, if the place is, like, completely crazy priced, Because I think Waverly Hills is something like $1,000 for the night.
Yeah, it's spendy.
And when you first go there, before you do, when they do their tour, they'll take you around to each floor and they'll say, you know, this is the room that you want to stay out of. You don't want to be in here alone. You know, you don't want to do any provoking in here. And then they'll tell you about how somebody ran out of there and or how somebody was attacked in that room. So there's definitely a lot of hype going into it. So for people, you know, the thrill seekers, like you were talking about earlier, that aren't used to going into dark buildings like that, you know, they're going in scared to death already. So,
yeah. Yeah. So somebody in the chat room just actually said Waverly is exactly the same as any other hospital that I've ever investigated. It's full of spirits. And, you know, there are kind of categories of places that you investigate because there are the museums and there are the hospitals or, you know, places where all these people have supposedly died and there are hotels and things. So do you find differences in the categories of places that are similar among the categories or do you think it's just kind of all unique?
I think it's all unique.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We had another question in the chat room while we have a couple minutes here. Teresa wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit on the situation with the medium that you worked with. She wanted to know what really happened and why do you think it didn't work out? She wanted you to elaborate a little bit more.
I think the big thing is we're so used to, normally it's just me, Rocky, and Sean. You know, me and Sean are investigating and Rocky runs all the camera equipment and all that stuff. So he's filming the whole time. So I think we're just so used to it just being us three. And when we decided to work with the medium, it was like, you know, the spirits want you to take your hat off. I was like, what?
What?
It's like, the spirit wants you to take your hat off. I'm like, well, if the spirit wants me to take my hat off, then she can knock it off.
Yeah.
So it was like that all night long. Like, the spirit doesn't want you to sit there. And so.
Kind of more like a pushy medium that you got.
It was
that's
a bit awkward.
Kind of weird. Yeah. So would you consider perhaps working with somebody again that might be less like that?
Yeah, I think we'd be open to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, let's do this, guys. We're coming up on a break here, so we'll go ahead and take it now because I know that you've sent over some EVPs.
Okay.
And usually my co-host Rick and I play the EVP game, and we only have three, I think. Do we have three, Cheryl? No, it's okay. Do we have three, Cheryl?
We have two, and then an audio of an event that
okay,
that
well, so Jenny and I will compete on the two. Anyway.
I concede.
You're not going to play the EVP game?
I'll play, but I'm conceding. I'm just telling you.
Okay. All right. So I've already won, but we'll come back. We'll listen to your EVPs. And then I want to talk some more about the filming that you do and why you do that. So we'll do that in just a minute. So we'll be back in just a minute. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. And we are with the Living Dead Paranormal Crew.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
I know what you are. You drive too fast. You smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a Metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back. Cheryl's messing with Jenny and I tonight. She's talking along. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. We're going live!
It's like, oh, okay.
So Jenny and I probably, if there's a good thing we're not on camera, because we probably both look like deer in the headlights. So,
and a pen kudos. Went flying. And
kudos, Cheryl. You know... Is this how you get back at me? Are these the subtle things that you do for
hey,
all the
I just
crap?
Was keeping you on your feet, so.
I'm not on my feet. I am sitting down. So, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. It's Karen Frazier. We don't have Rick Hale here tonight because he has a sore tooth. So, instead we have Jenny Brown.
I was going to say, did you already forget my name?
We have some other crazy gal, and we're talking to Josh, Sean, and Rocky. They are from the Living Dead Paranormal Crew, and so in the break, I was asking them about their favorite places. And so, Josh, you mentioned the Crump Theater, which is an investigation you just did, right?
Yeah, we just did it a couple Saturdays ago.
All right, so tell me about the Crump Theater.
It's definitely a pretty active location. This was another investigation where it was super hot. I think our temperature gown was getting readings up in like 93, 94. And it's pretty humid over here in Ohio right now. So, what was neat with this location is, you know, we did the walkthrough with the owner and stuff. And basically each area that they talked about certain activity and certain EVPs and stuff that groups had got in the past. And it was just neat to link the EVPs we got. They were actually going along with the video and what was taking place during
That's
the investigation.
Cool. Yeah.
So that always cool. helps than just a random word being tossed out there.
Yeah. So are you getting EVPs that are more than just a couple words long?
Yes.
Nice. Most of them are usually like about two or three words or, you know, maybe one word or something. So I love it when they're like long EVPs. Those are awesome.
Yeah, and what I was telling you about earlier is our main camera is a Sony VX1000.
Uh-huh.
So it's got a really nice camcorder mic on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually listen hard for EVPs coming off of camcorders.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all real staticky and stuff like a lot of your digital voice recorders are.
Right. Yeah, I use I use a Zoom H4, and it sure makes a difference. It's a lot easier mm-hmm. to pick stuff out. So, when you review your video evidence and you listen for EVPs, do you listen to your video and watch your audio separately, or do you do it together?
Separately.
I think that's such a great idea. And the reason I asked you that is because a lot of investigators don't think of that, and it's a really good tip. So mm-hmm. explain why you do it separately.
As far as the video?
Yeah.
Audio?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just that's just the way I do it, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, no,
I didn't know it was the right way or the wrong way.
It's a really good idea, and let me explain to you why then. You have great instincts because it isolates your senses, so you're not listening and watching at the same time. You're watching for things to take place, and then you're listening for things to take place. And it just it removes other senses, and it makes mm-hmm. you more alert, and it's easier to find stuff. So it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, I think when I'm at my best, I'm just doing one thing at a time. So if I start doing too many things, I get all sidetracked. And so
right.
I guess it's just an easier way to stay focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a mom, and so I'm a multitasker. So right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm also sewing, juggling, and eating dinner.
Yeah.
And dancing. Oh, and I'm on my treadmill. So wouldn't that be old? You would know if I was on my treadmill because I would sound like I was about to die.
Well, I'm just sitting here focused, so.
We have another question from the chat. I just got a message from Bert, okay. And he wants to know, what do you think EVPs are, and could they just be our unconscious thoughts being recorded?
I think it's definitely something paranormal because, like in my house here, I could walk around with a camcorder and voice recorder all day and not get an EVP. But so when you get into a place that's haunted and then you start picking up voices, there's got to be something to it.
So I have long wanted to do this experiment where you tape over the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theory behind EVPs, according to Lloyd Auerbach, who I have a lot of respect for, and I actually think that maybe Barry Taff says this too, but I'm not sure, so don't quote me on Barry Taff, but definitely on Lloyd Auerbach. The theory is that if a ghost, because ghosts don't have vocal cords, therefore anything that they get on, that you get on electronic voice recording is going to be psychokinetic. So it's their psychic waves implanting on your recording device. So if that's the case, would it still not happen if you had your microphones taped over? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I'd seen a video one time on that where somebody did that, and I think, if I remember right, they did pick up EVPs on the voice recorder.
Okay. Well, see, the other thing that I want to do is because I don't think that I have any psychokinetic abilities because, you know, I've really tried hard to bend a spoon with my brain, and by golly, that spoon never budges.
I think we've all tried that.
Okay. Well, thank God. I thought it was just me. So that being the case, I don't think I have any psychokinetic abilities necessarily. However, I think that there are people who do. So another thing that would be really interesting to do is to sit in a place that you're pretty sure isn't haunted, right? Mm-hmm. And turn on your recorder and have a bunch of people sit there and think the same word over and over and over and, like, direct it at that recorder and see what happens. Be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah, I know. So I say that I want to do these, and yet I've never done them.
Never
and
done
them. I know. What's wrong with me, right?
That's a whole nother show, Karen.
We don't have that kind of time.
No, we're not qualified.
No, we covered that at the top of the show when we were talking about going into space and what there kind of competition it would have to be for me to actually be in that. That's what's wrong with me. So the other place that you mentioned that you thought was really cool, and this was actually, I believe, Sean and Rocky's favorite place, is the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. So who would like to tell me about that?
This will be Sean.
Hello.
Hello. So the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, Sean.
Yeah, we did that, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, we did that during the summer, too, and it was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Or we do that in the winter. Yeah, we did that in the winter. Okay, I was wrong.
But it's one of your favorite places, so what was it about it that you really liked?
The activity. It so was what crazy. Was it? Got a lot of EVPs from that place, and they was even actually doing a live stream on the internet. They mm-hmm. had a camera set up through the hospital. And there was actually people even calling in saying they've heard or saying they heard stuff. But me, Rocky, and Greg, we was upstairs, and we actually had a couple doors, like they would open or something, shut. And then next thing you know, we had a door just slam. Ripped the hinges off the wall. And
wow.
If you watch the video Josh got up on YouTube, you can see it on there.
Okay, so it is one of your YouTube videos. It must not, I didn't get to all of them, so I'll have to look for that one. And it's called, is it just called the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, cool. Thanks for that. So, Cheryl, do you have the EVPs ready?
I do. We have three EVPs and then one audio of an incident that took place during one of the investigations.
Okay, well, we already know what that is, so Jenny and I cannot guess on that, but so do we have, I know, so do we have, is this Sean still, or is Josh back, or?
This is Josh.
Josh! Okay, so here's what's going to happen, because I like to win, and so we turn the EVPs into a game, and Cheryl plays them, and me and whoever is co-hosting, which would be the very brave Jenny this evening, we guess what it says, and the person who's right gets a point. So we only have three, but that's good because that means there's a tiebreaker.
Oh, no. I'm horrible at this. I'm just going to tell you guys right now.
So. I'm really bad at it, too. I mean, what was the... We both heard Fabio.
I did hear Fabio, so I have to... Okay, I'm not that bad.
No, uh-uh. And it wasn't Fabio. It was something entirely different. But it's, you know. Okay, so Cheryl will play it, and we may have her play it twice or so, and then we'll guess what it says, and then you can tell her what the EVP is and the circumstances under which you captured it and that type of thing. Sound good?
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Let the games begin.
All right.
Okay, you guys ready for the first EVP?
Bring it on.
Wait, let me focus and center. Yes.
All right, here we go.
Wow, that was really long. Can I hear it again, please?
Yeah, I'll think about it. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
We're going to shoot the good thing. I don't know.
Okay, so wait, let me ask you this before. What are you using to catch this EVP? Is it just plain old recorder? Are you doing a ghost box? What are you doing?
Yeah, this EVP was off a Sony digital voice recorder.
Okay.
All right, one more time. We're going to chew the good things.
I heard something about an axe, but maybe it's just because I have Lizzie Borden on my head today.
That's right. It is. Did you know that? That this is the anniversary of the 40 wax?
Yeah, I got to give props to Gavin on that one because he told me about that earlier today. So there's your little credit there, Dirk.
The anniversary of Lizzie Borden giving her family 40 wax with an axe. So what did it actually say? Were either of us even remotely close?
No. Now, what was neat about this EVP is this is a private location we did over in Lewisburg.
Uh-huh.
And the only death that they know about in this house was an elderly woman who fell down the steps.
Well, she must have smoked a lot of cigarettes if that was her voice.
Yeah. So what the EVP, what we think it says is, you all forgive me, my back's hurting.
Uh-huh. Play it again now. Let me see if I can pick that one now. Well, now I hear it.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, so 1 point for the brothers. Next. Is it looping?
It sounds like it.
So yeah. That's just the, it only happened once and we're just hearing it loop, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Now that I'm prepared for that, let's do it. Set this chair out. Is that you or is that the EVP?
Yeah, actually the louder sounding voice, that's actually Sean.
Okay. So it's the thing that comes right after I'll set this chair out, and it says it really fast.
Yes.
I need to hear it one more time.
Yeah, me too. So
you said that. You said that something.
I didn't hear really anything, to be completely honest. I heard once you said, let's set this chair out, I heard you say that, but then I heard some kind of, I don't know if it was mechanical, if it was just, maybe it was a little kid's little squeal, I'm not sure. There was some high-pitched noise in there, and that's about all I picked up.
You said it'd be okay. No? What is it?
Well, yeah. No.
This was at the Story Inn. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Story Inn, but each room, they've got diaries where the guest can write down, you know, thank you notes or anything they want and to the Story Inn. So it's like a little journal.
That's cute.
And so if you go through all the journals, and the journals go all the way back to the 70s, I think, and they're always talking about paranormal activity or strange things that's happened in the room and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we were back in one of the rooms, and one of the stories was, you know, hearing the voice of kids playing in the hallway and things like that.
Yeah.
So we were actually shutting the door to the room, and what we think it sounds like was a kid saying, Daddy, no.
Okay, I got to hear that again. Yeah. So I hear, like, a mechanical sound, and I hear, well, let's just play it one more time. I don't hear anything.
I hear feedback. That's what I'm getting.
Well, see, this is why we're bad at this.
Yeah.
You just have to have your ghost hunting ears on.
Well, and I think part of it, though, is not necessarily that so much as we're hearing it through a computer that's coming mm-hmm. through another computer that's, you know, so we don't really have the raw one right in there. And I could probably turn this up, my earphones a little louder, and maybe hear something, but it's tough when it comes through from a, like, second, third source like that.
That's true. So, okay, we have one more.
We have one more EVP and then the audio.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to skip to number 4 and go back to number 3.
I hear a little kid yelling as a toilet flushes.
Yeah. I heard Cheetos. Maybe I'm just hungry.
Can I hear it one more time? It sounds like a little kid saying gee something.
A gee whiz, maybe?
What is it?
No, this here was at the Mineral Springs. This was at our last live event.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there were no kids in the building. Because I think this took place about midnight. And what you're hearing, it's not really a Cheeto bag. Is they were doing construction, so they had big sheets of plastic. So in order to get back up to the main floor, we had to go through some plastic.
Okay.
And one of the report there is a little girl she had drowned on her 7th or 8th birthday party they were having there. And she actually drowned in the pool down in the basement. And that's actually who we were trying to make contact with before we went back up to the main room. And I'm trying to remember what that one said. I think it said, like, can you play it one more time?
Sure.
It says,
I hear several syllables.
I think
I hear several syllables.
In here, don't leave me.
Okay. All right. So you guys win. We didn't do very well. This is more of my typical performance. Is this just like this? So tell me now, because those actually sound almost a little like mechanically filtered or something. Did you apply an FFT filter or anything, or that's just the way it came out?
Some of them, when we raised the volume on them, you can either, I guess, change. Trying to think what the name of the button is, but we remove the background noise.
Right.
Like it removes the hum and the hiss from the recording. Yeah.
You're doing like the Zach Bagans enhanced audio style.
They're doing the noise. It's noise removal. And it does, the noise removal does tend to, because you have to get a noise profile and then you remove the noise and it does that mechanical thing. That's what I was wondering if you had done was that noise removal. I can't do that because I can never make out things once the noise removal is in there. So, okay. So
lot of the times we'll put them up and I guess people have a hard time hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you raise the volume real loud, then all you get is all that static. And
Right. So we have one more piece of audio.
To investigate this location, if you are a patient here or staff, let us know.
Yeah. Can you do that again? Oh, no.
That one startled you.
Yeah, that was actually the door slamming at the South Pittsburgh Hospital.
That'll get you. Okay, all right. So,
they wanted to know, somebody in the chat room wants to know, what program do you use for your EVPs when you analyze them?
I use WavePad.
Okay, WavePad. Okay. That's actually a pretty good one, I hear. So
yeah, it's good and it's free.
Yeah.
What's the one we use, Karen?
Audacity.
The one you sent me. Audacity. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use Audacity, but I don't do anything with them other than, you know, I cut them and loop them and stuff like that. So I'm afraid to apply any of the controls. I tried the noise filter thing that you did once, and it sounded like, I don't know, it sounded like R2-D2 or something when I was done. And so that was the end of that. So I wanted to ask you guys about, you're doing a lot of filming, and you're doing a lot of the live tours and posting a lot of things on YouTube. So why do you do that? What's your goal in sharing the videos that you share and doing the tours and that type of thing?
When we first got started, I would say the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 locations that we investigated, you know, we never posted anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was the first video I posted on YouTube was just your evidence video, you know, it was the EVPs and a ball of light or something like that. So it wasn't anything in depth. And a lot of people were asking, you know, what took place before, what took place afterwards. And they wanted to see more of the investigation. So slowly we've been adding more and more of the investigation until it is, you know, what you see now.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I your videos are great. They really are.
Thank you.
And you have some really good effects that, like, even I, and I'm not talking in the video part, but they look very professionally done now. So are you guys just doing your own editing and using some kind of little editing program for it, or?
Yes, I use Sony Vegas now.
Okay.
So if you look at our early videos to what you see now, there's, you know, it's like night and day, so.
Yeah, I noticed that there was an evolution. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool, but it's so you didn't know how to do any of this stuff before, and this is just sort of a hobby that you've developed, the video editing stuff then?
Yep. We've kind of just, you know, as our, even our group, you know, we've all grown together, and our investigations have gotten a lot better, and as far as questioning and the way that we investigate and, you know, the videos and everything has gotten a lot better too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about something that you mentioned earlier, and that you said that sometimes you provoke if you need to. So
yes.
I want to ask you a couple things about provoking on an investigation. First of all, do you provoke because you know what kind of response you're going to get, or do you sometimes provoke and maybe get something that you weren't expecting, or, you know, and do you think that somebody who's never investigated before should provoke?
I don't think they should. Our investigations, they, and it's not by design or anything like that, we just kind of start off on one level, and if we're not producing any activity, we'll take it to another level,
mm-hmm.
and then throughout the night, we'll just keep ratcheting it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we get activity or not, that's, you know, not up to us, but...
Right. So give me an example of kind of your escalation process then, with the provoking, like where you start and where you end.
Well, normally start off just asking your normal questions. And we're always moving. So that's why we like to do the large locations, because we're always just moving around asking questions. And then if we're not getting any activity, we'll take our questions up a little bit and we'll be more aggressive with our tone of voice
mm-hmm.
and the way we ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're never yelling or cussing or anything like that.
So you're not saying, always, come on, you MFers, and come and MF and get me?
Nope. We're always being respectful of spirits and location. So.
I know someone would say that.
I was going to say, I just can't imagine what you're talking about, that somebody would do that. No. Well, and that's, I was going to say, so you're not doing like the, you know, the blood sacrifice ritual there? The
nope. Nothing too crazy.
Laying down in the pentagram as
opening up the portal of hell.
Portal
we'll
of
try
hell.
That next time.
That's okay. Yeah. So, have you ever encountered anything that you feel is dark or evil?
I was just going to ask that, Karen.
Oh, I read your mind. It's because I'm a
dead. We're psychokinetic tonight.
That's right. Woohoo!
I would say either. You know, some of the stuff at South Pittsburgh and then the Prospect Place
mm-hmm.
gave you that kind of eerie feeling, like you're on the edge.
But it was a feeling more than what the activity was?
Yeah, and I mean, the door that slammed, you know, it was a pretty heavy hospital door.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to rip itself right off the hinges and...
That's a little frightening, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Oh, go ahead.
Well, when you're in your investigations, you know, we hear a lot of people say, and I know Karen talks about it too, personal experiences versus, say, a physical experience and or an actual
evidence. Documentable.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. So have you had any, I mean, I'm sure you may have had a personal experience. Do you take more stock in that and how you feel? Or I know a lot of people would rather say, oh, no, I want the hard evidence. And that's great, too. But what's your feeling kind of on personal experiences?
I think it depends. Sorry.
Sorry. And just have you had a lot of them?
we do get a lot of personal experiences. I think it's just, you know, if you're, you have to look at it like if you're going in there just for personal experiences or if you're going in there to actually document paranormal activity to share with other people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's hard to share a personal experience.
Right, but I would think that a personal experience for me, and this is Miss Skeptic here, that evidence is fantastic if you're going to show me, but for me to be there, I want a real solid personal experience, and then be able mm-hmm. to back it up too. But I'm just wondering if you had the personal experience first, and that was what you brought you more to the let's go further and deeper and investigate this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, we'll spend anywhere from 8 to 10 hours on each investigation, mm-hmm. and during that time, you may only get 40 seconds worth of activity. But it's that 40 seconds that gets you hooked.
Yeah, it is. Keep
going back and going back. And
that's why we sit for hours and hours yeah. and hours with nothing happening.
Yeah.
Hear nothing but crickets.
You know, see now, I know that you say that that there's no way to share a personal experience, but you know what? I'm a writer, and that's what I do. I'd mm-hmm. rather tell somebody about a personal experience, and if there's evidence to document it, awesome, but I love telling people about personal experiences because, man, you can get people right on the edge of their seat and totally freak them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the one big reason that we don't, you know, even if watching our videos, you'll see that we don't carry a bunch of gadgets and, you know, we usually have like a K2 meter or an EMF detector and because I think your body mm-hmm. would be your biggest tool.
I agree.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sense activity. So
yeah, I think it is too because there are times when you get the hair standing up on the back of your neck, mm-hmm. or you get the chill, or you feel sick to your stomach, or I mean, there's all these little indicators that are physical things that you can't document except for writing them down or noting them on your recorder or things. But still, I think they mean something, especially when you later come back and there's an EVP associated with it or something like that. So we do have a question from the chat room, and now I have to scroll back up. And, oh, you got it. Okay.
Yeah. In all the time that you've been doing investigations, what is your number one piece of evidence?
I would say it would go back to the Hardin County. We were getting ready to break stuff down. You have to remember, this is one of our very first investigations. So me and Sean went down to the basement together. So, you know, to tear up the cameras and stuff and haul stuff back up. And when we walked around the corner, we both saw what was probably a little bit higher than waist high, a dark shadow.
Oh, I saw that. You guys have that on video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, as you can see from our reactions, we weren't expecting it, and
yep,
it was definitely pretty scary.
Yeah, it's very
cool. Yeah.
Okay, so people want to see your videos. They go to YouTube, and they search for Living Dead Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the name that you post under? What's the...
It's Foreman04.
Right. So
it's F-O-U-R.
Right. So you can... And then you have about 40 videos on the channel. And they range. I mean, you've got a couple that are a minute long, and then you've got several that are 30 minutes long.
Yeah, all the new stuff's right about 30 minutes.
Does YouTube... I thought YouTube only let you post stuff in 10-minute increments. Do you guys have some kind of special dispensation?
Yeah, if you're a YouTube partner, then you can pretty much put whatever length you want up.
So you're saying you're pretty freaking special is what you're telling me.
I don't know about that.
And so you can, that's at youtube.com, Living Dead Paranormal. And then also Facebook, right?
Yeah, we do Facebook and we do PTVN every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
What's PTVN?
It's Past TV Network.
Okay.
It's online paranormal videos.
Mm. Okay. Very good. All right. So, hey, guys, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really interesting talking to you. And
yeah, really.
And I really enjoyed watching what I was able to watch of your videos today. I plan and go back on watching more because it's like eating potato chips. You see mm-hmm. one and you yeah. just got to keep going, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So thank you so much for coming on. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Jenny is going to tell us what she thought of the most recent Harry Potter movie. I know that she was really, really mad at me about the last Harry Potter movie because she loved it and I thought it was a waste of time. Yeah. So we'll have a little conversation about that when we come back. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. So tonight with me, I have Miss Jenna Brown.
Hey there.
Hey there. So you and I had very different opinions of the first part of the Deathly Hallows.
Was it the first part of Deathly Hallows or was it Half-Blood Prince that we disagreed on?
It was the first part of Deathly Hallows. Okay. I thought it was the most worthless movie ever. I thought it was Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that. Now, see, for me, the first one, I thought was what it needed to be. It was the setup. I thought that they did a really good job of explaining that they needed to get these Horcruxes. It bridged the gap between Harry being the schoolboy and Harry coming to the realization he's got to grow up now. I thought that that's what I think in the book. I think that's what the first half of the book kind of is too. It's the setup. It's what was needed for us to get to the emotion that was in the very end.
Yeah. So I mean I understand why they had to have that. It's like I always understood why Back to the Future 2 existed as well.
Right.
That doesn't mean it was entertaining.
No, I have to agree with you on that one. But, you know, I was telling somebody earlier today about Harry Potter in general that you have to kind of step back from it and say, did it do what it was supposed to do? Did it set it up? It did set it up. Was it exactly like the book? No, it wasn't exactly like the book. Am I ever going to convince you that it was a great movie? No, I'm never going to convince you that it's a great movie. But that's fine, because that's your opinion, that's my opinion, and I'm not going to try to convince you. All I can tell you, and I'm not being cranky here with everybody, just so you guys know, is what
I
thought.
She is totally being cranky.
I'm totally not being cranky. You haven't seen me cranky.
I'm just saying it wasn't entertaining for me.
And that's, you know, and a lot of people said it was too slow, and I will give you that. It was slow, but that's how that first part is. That first part is slow. And it was
brilliant
through the first part of that book, too.
That's true. It was, you know what it was, really? It was Moses wandering around in the desert for 40 years leading the Jews. You know, except for his wife nagging at him. Oh, my God, I told you to ask for directions. You know, it just... It was just a little much for me. It was kind of long and not really. But I will say that we went last week, took the kids, and we went and watched the second half.
Nice. And?
So those gargoyle things that jumped off the castle, mm-hmm. That was my favorite part.
That was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, but it was entertaining. I was entertained.
Yeah, it was. I definitely think that this one hit the nail on the head. I think they wrapped up what we needed it to wrap up, and they went the direction that we needed them to go, which was to, you know, either kill or be killed. And they did it. And of course, you know, having read the book, I knew how it was going to end, but my dad's not read the book. And he said that was perfect for him. It did what they needed it to do by saying, okay, we've got all the Horcruxes. We know what they are. We know where they are, and let's get them. Oh, yeah, I should say spoiler alert, sorry.
Cheryl's in a panic. She's in there going,
spoiler alert. Yeah, sorry, gang.
They all died. They all got hit by a truck in the end.
Right. So spoiler. If you haven't heard it, you might want to turn your radio off right now. Or you
no, but do not turn this off. Listen to us all the way
through. I think it wrapped it up nicely. And I think the stuff they did leave out of it was fine. I didn't think it was a problem. And some people said, oh, they didn't follow the book. They didn't follow the book. Well, you can't follow the book. It's like 800 pages. There's no way.
So here's splitting it into two. So here's something that shocked me that I didn't, because I read the book and then I've seen the movies. So I've read all the books and I've seen all the movies. Here's what I did not realize until like 3/4 of the way through the last movie. It has some seriously Christian themes to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was stunned.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard that, too, and I went into it not caring, just because it's...
Well, I don't care either. I just...
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, we have people that, you know, that go to church who won't let their kids read or see Harry Potter, and I'm watching this, and I mean, there are, like, I mean, in some places it sort of almost follows biblical themes exactly.
Yeah, and but then you can argue the same thing with Star Wars. I mean, you're going to have the good versus evil, the reckoning, the revelations, all that. And you can find an argument for that in probably any movie you watch. I mean, I know they say Tolkien and C.S. Lewis are perfect examples mm-hmm. of how that works. And they agree to an extent, but I think if you go in wanting it to be, it's kind of like an investigation. You go in wanting it to be religious and you're going to find...
Oh, totally, I did not.
No, I know, and I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying, I think on the broad scheme of things, for someone who's going to go in there and say, I've heard this was religious and I don't believe in wizards, I think that they're things of the devil, because that was the biggest complaint, you know, when it first came out, was
right.
how they were, wizards don't exist because they're the devil's plaything. Well, it's a freaking book and a movie, okay?
It's fantasy.
And a car can't come to life, but yet Stephen King made it happen.
I'm just telling you that if they say that magic doesn't exist, then what the hell was it that, what the heck was it that Jesus did in the New Testament when he performed miracles?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can look at it like that, you know, is magic nothing more than a miracle that we're witnessing? I mean, that's...
Right, so here's the thing. As I was watching Harry Potter, I had this, and it suddenly struck me, I had this epiphany that it kind of had these Christian themes to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say the things that I thought were the Christian themes, because it would be spoilers. But, and Cheryl would be mad at me. But as I was sitting there, I leaned over to Jim, and I said, what happens if 1,000 years from now, the society that comes after us finds Harry Potter and they believe that it was our religious text? And all of a sudden, Harry Potter is their religious text.
Hmm. Well, that's...
Wouldn't that be wicked?
That would be preposterous, but it would be ponderous. I mean, that would be interesting to know. You can kind of link that back to maybe ancient Egypt and some of the things that we've found, and we view that as their religious subtext. And they're probably going, are you guys nuts? That's not what we meant by that at all.
So what if the Bible is Harry Potter from 6,000 to 2,000 years ago?
I have this conversation with Gavin all the time.
You do?
Religion. Oh, yeah. About how the Bible isn't... I think the Bible's a really nice collection of stories, but it was made by a man, so...
Just one.
No. Yeah. But, you know, it's... Oops. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not maligning the Bible. It just struck me as I was watching these biblical themes in Harry Potter, and I thought, oh my God, what if they find this in 10,000 years and this becomes a religious text? How is that different than us finding documents from 6,000 years ago and that becomes our religious text? I don't know. I'd never thought that way before. And so it kind of surprised me.
That's a good point that you come up with that. I mean, I can't argue with that, because that would be really, really trippy.
It just makes me wonder. That's all I'm saying.
Wonder away, my child.
Well, and you know, and here's the thing. I grew up in the church. I attend church now, and a Christian church, but I've never taken a literal interpretation of the Bible. And yeah, I just think it would be really interesting if you know, somewhere in the future, Harry Potter is like Jesus. And what would you call it, do you think? Because we have Christianity for Christ. So what would you call Potter religion?
Potterverse or
No, that's the game. Well, they might find the game too.
That's right. Well, what would you call it? Potterism. Yeah, I don't know.
Cheryl, really, you think Potterism?
Hey, I just spit out the first thing that came to mind.
Potteranity?
Yeah.
No.
The Rowling prophecy? I don't, you know, have to...
Instead of JC, we have JK.
Yeah, there you go.
Yet another parallel? You decide.
Oh, yeah, you decide.
So anyway, I don't say that to insult anybody who's, you know, who believes in Christianity or anything else. Because like I said, we go to church and stuff. It was just this bizarre thought that I had. And then I thought, you know, that'd make a really awesome novel.
Do it.
6,000 years in the future, and they worship Harry Potter. Yeah. And Jenna Jameson.
But then, you know, you'd have to have the other side of the coin where...
Voldemortism.
Yeah, or they don't believe that Harry's actually come.
So they're waiting for the second coming of the Harry.
They're waiting for Harry, too.
Can I just say you both are cracking me up Harry right now? One.
Harryism.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, dear. Don't look in the chat room right now.
I know, I just saw it. And I'm like,
oh my God!
And leave it to those two. You guys, clean it up in there.
I can't, we can't repeat that on the air.
No.
So, Cheryl, don't. Do you think that this is a ridiculous conversation? Or, I mean...
No, and it's funny because Chad and I have this conversation too, a lot. And I'm more of the, I kind of fall in line with what Jenny was describing. I think it's a collection of stories or tales, and that's...
Mother Goose, baby. I mean...
Yeah, so honestly, Karen, I don't think it's that preposterous. I don't think it's that crazy.
Somebody would find Harry Potter and think that that's our... I mean,
honestly, I don't.
We've got movies about it. We have Potterverse now. There are these
Seven books.
There are these... I watched 7 Harry Potter movies.
Watched 8, actually.
You watched 8.
My point is that it's got the same kinds of themes. It's got the good versus evil and the magic and the, or the miracles, whatever you call it, and all of that stuff. Or, you know, maybe they would find Lord of the Rings and they would think that was, or maybe they would think it was both. Could you imagine what they would think our world was like, us ancient people?
Probably what we think of the ancient people now. They're all whack jobs. I mean...
I don't think any ancient people are whack jobs.
Speaking to a point, though, Karen. I'm not...
I know. I'm teasing you.
But, like, maybe we should send Harry Potter on tape out into space and see if other aliens can get the message, and then they think that that's... I mean, there's so many routes you could go.
I know. I'm just thinking that I may need to write a book about, you know, that it's somewhere in the future when Harry Potter is the same. Maybe I'll write a short story for the magazine for it, Cheryl.
Hey, be my guest, and I think that you should write a novel. I think you get a lot of followers, and hey, you never know.
I don't know. I wonder if you can use, would I have to call J.K. Rowling and ask her permission, do you think?
I am sure probably. You have to.
Yeah.
There's no way you could blaspheme that name without having to pay a hefty.
What if I called him Perry Hotter?
Then you're okay.
There you go. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. So I did enjoy the second movie. I did find it entertaining. And I was glad because I thought, man, if they're leaving me with what the first one was, and that's going to be the second one.
Yeah, I liked how they... I really think they did a great job at capturing what you saw in your head when you saw those battle scenes, when you read about the battle scenes. And I think that the cinematography was amazing. And like I said, in the review, if you guys want to go read the e-mag that's up already on paranormalunderground.net, I said that I thought Helena Bonham Carter was, again, brilliant because she has to play Hermione playing her. And
yeah.
I thought that was just genius because she's such a great actress anyways, and I cannot even envision anyone but her playing Bellatrix Lestrange.
So you think that's the best performance throughout the whole series was Helena Bonham Carter? Because I have somebody else who I think was the best.
From start to finish, who do I think took the cake for best performance?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh, you're nailing me to the wall on that one. You know... I think Neville was a great evolution of a character, and I thought that, Matthew, what's his last name? I can't think of it now. I think he really grew with the series as well as the character, and I think you could really see that in the last movie, how strong he really has become, and I thought he was great. I also thought that Alan Rickman was
that's my, I think
amazing.
He was,
I mean, hands down, you have to, he's in a whole other class. You can't even categorize him with the rest of them. I don't think.
And that's it. I think that he was, as I was watching the last, you know, him dying and just the whole scene where they flash, oh, he didn't die. Spoiler alert. But the whole, where he flashes back to how he got to where he was and that type of thing when Harry has his face in that.
Like,
what was
pensive.
It? The pensive, right. So I thought, as I was watching that, I thought, this guy has been so tremendous through this whole series.
He has, and I thought that that was probably the point when I needed the most Kleenex, was seeing why Snape was the way Snape was.
I didn't cry. Of course you didn't.
You have no emotions. You are a white boy of nothingness.
Wait. I cry sometimes.
I'm just kidding.
When I was 6 years old, I read Charlotte's Web, and I came down and I was sitting at the table, and my mom said, "You're so quiet. What's wrong?" And I burst into tears and I said, "Charlotte dies." Spoiler alert for those of you who don't know, Charlotte dies. And I was just devastated. So I actually am kind of a big mush when it comes to movies and stuff. I don't know that I ever got the whole Harry Potter thing. So, I mean, the emotion of the Harry Potter thing, I enjoyed it. I thought it was tremendously imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
But I never emotionally connected with it the way a lot of people did.
Yeah, but then you didn't like the Lost finale either, so I can't even talk to you.
The Lost finale sucked.
Careful, you got my friend Gavin.
I put all of this time into watching every episode in that series where they're promising, spoiler alert, they're promising it's not, they're not dead, it's not purgatory, it's not heaven, it's not hell, and then what?
But it was.
They lied to me.
To quote them all in the chat room right now, it's a plug.
They lied to me. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so, Cheryl.
Yes.
Next week. Next week we will have Rick back, unless his tooth still.
Well, I hope Rick's back, because you're not going to be here.
Is it next week I'm not going to be here?
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to have to double check that and make sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I have to give training one night. I can't remember. Is this next Thursday or the following?
I had down next Thursday, but let me know. Upcoming shows, we have...
You keep talking, so I'm going to check that out now.
All right. August 11th, we have Jackie Blackwood from Olympic Peninsula Paranormal Society, along with Shanna Smith from the Olympic Property Group of Port Gamble. They're joining us, and they're going to talk about their investigations and a lot of good things. And Karen actually knows Jackie, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is August 11th. You're right. It's next week. I'm not here.
Yeah, so we're going to have a good discussion with them. And then the week after, we are going to welcome Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman.
That's cool.
They have some books out on a variety of paranormal topics, and I'm sure they do a lot of investigation along those lines as well. So that'll be interesting.
Okay, and then there's a relatively new issue of the magazine up as well.
Yeah, go check it out at paranormalunderground.net. And it's free. You can read it online for free, or you can actually order a printed copy from madcloud.com. Search Paranormal Underground, it'll come up. You can order any issue, one or a billion, whatever you like.
One million, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But in the latest issue, we have some super cool stories. I'll just run down the list real quick. We have a story on Charleville Castle, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's a castle in Ireland, and Harry Warren was able to investigate with a local paranormal group there, and he wrote about his experience in the castle, which is pretty cool. We have a special report on rock and roll ghost stories, where some rock and rollers wrote in and talked about their experiences, and it's actually in a book compilation and called Rock and Roll Ghost Stories, so by Stacey McArdle. She gathered them all and edited them together and let us put some excerpts in the magazine. They're pretty cool stories. We have an author spotlight on Markle Clarkson and his book, The Poltergeist Phenomenon, written by Michelle Pillow. And we have two stories by Rick this issue. One's a haunted history about Mount Shasta and the paranormal experiences there. The other is a case file on a case called The Music Never Dies, so check that out. And then we had somebody write in with a personal experience. She had a murderer come to her garage sale, and she psychically connected with this person, which is how she knew. And to make a long story short, because you'll want to read the story, the detective showed up at her door after the garage sale, and
ooh.
Yeah, you'll want to. Mm. It's pretty interesting. And don't miss Jenny's Harry Potter review. Ooh. Oh, Chad also wrote a review in this issue of The Real Men in Black by Nick Redfern, and he recommends
love
the book.
Nick Redfern.
So yeah, check that out. That's
all right. So one of these days, I'll write an article for the magazine again too when my my life settles down.
Yeah,
good Lord,
you know what?
Who knew?
You know what? I totally forgot that, and I don't know how I forgot this, but Jack Kenna, he's an investigator with several paranormal groups back east. We did a spotlight on him and his investigations and his groups, and so you got to check that out because he has some really interesting theories and techniques, and he also writes special reports from time to time for the magazine, so we really appreciate that.
Alrighty. Okay. So next week, it'll be Rick with Olympic Peninsula Paranormal, and they're going to be talking about Port Gamble, which is a really neat place in Washington here.
Very
and
neat.
It's like a whole little haunted town.
Cool.
Yeah. And I've investigated with them. They put on a thing last fall, I think. Last spring. And I investigated with them and a whole group, and they actually led like the public around to different places, but they let a couple of teams just go off on our own. And great place. Really interesting. Especially, I think, the theater. I have a neat EVP. I should send it to you, Cheryl. You can play it on the show next week.
Yeah.
And it's actually of the piano playing in the theater. So
send it.
Yeah, I'll see if I can dig it up and I'll send it to you. So, Jenny.
Yeah?
This worked much better than the last time you were supposed to co-host with me.
I believe we have the missing piece, though, with Miss Cheryl.
With Cheryl, that's right. Last time,
desperately needed.
Last time Jenny was supposed to co-host, it was the night Rick had a baby, and tonight it's when Rick is a baby. Right! It's full circle. Everything is full circle, folks. So thank you so much for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll be back next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and of course, other times in the flyover states. Thank you, everybody, and have a good day.
Thanks.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.